In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's alter that a little. How about this? Grace, mercy, peace, and joy to you. Joy to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are at the end of the church year, and we come to the Lord's house. We hear the readings from Scripture, and in the final words of the Gospel, we hear this saying of our Lord. Caps off the church year. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch, be wakeful, be ready. Watchful for what? Ready for what? For Jesus' return, of course. No one knows the day nor the hour of his return, but the Scriptures teach that Christ is coming again in glory. The creeds confess this. We believe this. But it's not something like the Cat in the Hat. You remember the story. Mom goes off for the day. The kids are alone. And suddenly, there is the Cat in the Hat. And he is there for the entertainment and amusement of the kids and causes a great deal of mischief. The house is wrecked. There's thing one and thing two and who knows what else. And then, uh-oh, here's Mom coming back home. They didn't expect her so early, or they had gotten so lost, so caught up in the entertainment, they weren't ready for her return. And so the Cat helps the kids clean up. Everything is put back in spick and span order. Whatever spick and span order is, I assume it's something neat and clean. And Mom walks in the door, and the house looks perfect. She didn't know a thing about the Cat and his shenanigans with her children. Well, that's not a picture of how the church is to await the coming of Jesus Christ. The children and the Cat in the Hat were, oh, Mom's going to see this mess. She's going to kill us. We'll be grounded for the rest of our lifetimes. You know, it's going to be bad when she comes in. That's not the way it is with the church. The church looks forward to the return of Christ. In Scripture, the Lord's return, the day of the Lord, is many times compared to a wedding banquet, a time of festivity, a time of joy. And that is certainly the case in the parable our Lord tells in today's gospel reading. Don't dread the coming of the Lord. Don't dread coming to church. Don't dread hearing the gospel preached or having your sins absolved or partaking of the Holy Supper. We in the Christian church are at a party. Yeah, a party. A wedding banquet. A time of festivity and joy and celebration. Yeah, the party has just begun here on earth. But the party, when the Lord returns, will continue, and the whole universe will participate in this party. The whole universe will be decked out with garlands and banners and beautiful things in celebration of this party, for the party to which the Lord invites us is for all. Jesus speaks of 10 virgins, bridal attendants. who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. Now, a quick explanation of the wedding customs of the day. The date of the wedding was made known sometime before it actually happened. The bride was gathered into her household. She was bathed. The bridesmaids attended her. But they did not know exactly when the bridegroom would come from his house to escort the bride and her attendants from her parents' home back to his house. And once he did escort them back to his house, the wedding festivities began. Well, Jesus says that there were 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom, because in many cases the bridegroom showed up for his bride after the sun had set. 5 of the virgins were foolish, 5 were wise, and their folly consisted of this, that they took their lamps but did not take any extra oil with them. The wisdom of the 5 virgins consisted of this. They took flasks of oil with their lamps. At sundown, the lamps are lit in expectation of the bridegroom's appearance, but he is delayed longer than any of them had expected. Now, the bride was probably a very young age, 14 or 15, and the bride's attendants, the virgins, were likewise probably 14 or 15 years of age as well. And I've had girls sleep over at our house before. Sue and I have had that experience when our daughters were younger, and what a silly time they had of it. Yes, go to sleep, quit talking. Well, these virgins did fall asleep because the coming of the bridegroom was delayed. Then suddenly, at midnight, came the cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." So they trimmed their lamps, but the lamps of the foolish virgins were sputtering out. They had run out of oil. They said to the wise virgins, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. We want to participate in this celebration." And the wise virgins seemed kind of priggish or something. They said, Nah. There won't be enough for us and for you, so go to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while the 5 foolish bridesmaids rushed off to the dealer, the bride came. Those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. No one else would be admitted. Not even the 5 foolish virgins. They had their lamps full. They had the wick trimmed and aflame. They knocked on the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." I do not know you. Hadn't they been chosen to serve in this wedding feast? Hadn't they been chosen to have their lamps lit and to escort the wedding party to the marriage festival? Yes, they had. But what was the problem? Well, they were out of oil. That seems a strange reason to keep someone out of a wedding celebration. Let's simplify things. They're running short of oil indicates that they were not ready for the bridegroom's appearance. They had not prepared themselves or had not been prepared for the bridegroom's delay. Most bridegrooms come, they might have thought, an hour after sundown. We won't bother bringing any extra oil because we expect him to come at a time which is customary. But he delayed. He delayed so long that all the virgins fell asleep until he awakened them at midnight with his return. Jesus concludes the parable, and we conclude our church year with these words, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Be ready, be prepared, for Christ is coming like a thief in the night." People may be saying, "Hey, we're in a time of great peace. We're secure." But then sudden destruction will come upon them, upon those who are not ready for the return of the Lord. Here's an interpretive key to all this. The other virgins, the foolish ones, pounded on the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." He died for them, didn't he? I mean, he even created them. How can he say, "I do not know you"? The answer is pretty simple. It's astoundingly simple. He did not know them because they did not know him. Let's put it in terms of us. If Jesus says to anyone, "Depart from me, I do not know you," it will be because the person he says that to did not know Jesus through faith. And we aren't talking about some intellectual knowledge that could spout off all the chief teachings of the Bible with one hand tied behind the back. We're talking about trust, an experiential trust, an experiential faith in Christ Jesus. A faith that receives the gifts of the gospel. A faith that takes hold of the forgiveness offered in the gospel. A faith that says, "God intends this for me." A faith for the long haul, until Jesus returns, or for the rest of your earthly life. We're talking about a faith that doesn't sputter out at age 22 or age 35 or age 55 or 65 or 105. We're talking about a faith for the long haul. And that faith can only remain alive as Christian people continue to know and experience Jesus as he comes to them in the gospel. That's why I said that we're at the wedding feast now. The bridegroom is present among us, dispensing his gifts of forgiveness, of life eternal, dispensing his handwritten invitations to the great wedding feast of the Lamb. As you came in today, most of you probably passed the baptismal font at the rear of this sanctuary. It has water in it, you know, water and word. They go together. You were issued, you could say, an invitation to the wedding feast of the Lamb when you were baptized. You were made one of God's own people in Christ when you were baptized. You come into this wedding chamber on account of your baptism in the name of the triune God. You come into this wedding chamber to celebrate the gifts of the gospel and to receive those gifts. And then, at the end of the service, having celebrated, you file out. Some of you go down this side aisle, and that's perfectly fine, because the same holds true for you, whether you go down the side aisle or down the central aisle or throw a chair through a window back here and jump out. You leave this place as one who has been baptized, invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and who is and someone who is being made ready as a celebrant at that wedding feast of the Lamb, a dear and cherished and welcomed guest. Last November or December, whenever the church year began, you entered it as a baptized child of God. As the church year ends today, you step out of that church year, awaiting the next one as a baptized child of God. That is something to celebrate. That is not something to take lightly, your baptism. It's not something to fritter away. It's something to remain in, to remain steadfast in, and you can only do so as the Lord enables you to do so, as His Spirit works through the means of grace to strengthen your faith, to continually forgive your sins, to heighten the anticipation you feel about the coming of the Lord. These five foolish virgins were not kept out of the feast because they were naughty. They were kept out because they didn't think the feast was worth being ready for. It is. The great wedding banquet of the Lamb is worth being made ready for. It's worth waiting for. Each time you partake of communion, you should do so thinking, one day. One day, I will be there along with all the saints in glory. I will be there in the presence of the triune God. I will be there with my Savior. I will be there in the place where, as Isaiah puts it, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. Can you imagine a life, a world without any sorrow, any pain, any disappointment, any heartache, anything bad? Can you imagine a world like that? And if you were capable of bringing a world like that about by drinking a Coke and saying, I'd like to teach the world to sing. No, not that way. If you could do something to bring a world like that to pass, wouldn't you do it? Well, you and I can't bring a world like that to pass, but Jesus has. He has and will, on account of his death for your sins, for the sins of the world, his resurrection in glory, his ascension to the right hand of God, where he directs all things for the good and ultimate well-being of his people. A world like that is worth waiting for, dear Christian friends. So, come to the wedding banquet here. Have your lamps trimmed and made ready here, as your faith is renewed and strengthened by your fellowship with Jesus, your Savior here. Watch. We know not the day nor the hour, but we do not want to miss it when it comes, because it's going to be, to allude to Bob Dylan, a $1 billion bash, or is that a $1 million bash? In today's currencies, it's a $1 gazillion bash. The party to end all parties. Come to the wedding banquet of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.